It is a privilege for me to deliver the word to you this morning. I'm really excited about the word of God. I am every Sunday when I deliver it. I know it's one of the most important things I've ever done in my life is preaching the gospel, because it has the power to change your life if you let it. You've got to allow the word of God to change your life. And today's topic is a beautiful topic. But today we're beginning this sermon with some classical literature, some classical romantic literature, to be exact. This is one of Shakespeare's most famous pieces from Romeo and Juliet. Juliet, speaking of Romeo, says, can I have that picture? What's in a name, that which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes. Some of you are thinking, especially the younger ones, what on earth is she saying? What's in a name, that which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes. To some of you, I know, it's like I'm talking another language. Scary, isn't it? What is Juliet saying here? Juliet is poetically expressing that what matters is what something is and not what it is called. If Romeo was given the name Monster, he would have still been as wonderful, as handsome, and as dashing as he was to Juliet, because a rose by any other name would still smell the same, would still smell as sweet. That's nice, isn't it? Husbands, have you ever said that poem to your wives? Maybe you need to. Mind you, there are some rather stupid names out there. I was reading a list of silly names given to twins. Twin babies have been called Sunny and Cher, Thelma and Louise, Laurel and Hardy, I kid you not, Harry and Sally, Jack and Jill, X and Y, Big and Bigger, Jennifer and Angelina, this one and that one, the one we're dressing in green and the one we're dressing in blue. Poor children. I think it's good to get the name right in the first place. I believe in speaking a positive confession over a newborn child with a good name. Evie, where are you? Eve. Has she gone? Where is she? She's gone out the back. She's just had a baby and she was telling me her baby's name, Myla. It's beautiful. It's gracious. It means gracious and warrior. What a beautiful combination. Gracious, warrior. A bit like Jesus, huh? Here's some of my grandsons' names. I've got 10 grandsons and four granddaughters. Harvey means battle-worthy. Toby means God is good. Theodore means gift of God. Raphael means God has healed. And Ezekiel means God strengthens. They're all good names and positive confessions to speak over my grandchildren. Hallelujah, because their lives will reflect each one of those names. Do you know that God is into good names? He is. He's really into good names. He's got so many good names for himself. The Bible is full of them because it is through his name that he reveals himself to us. For some of us, our characters may not depict our names. As you know, my name is Pamela, which apparently means sweet as honey. I don't know about that one, but maybe my husband Luke agrees with it. I'm his honey anyway. But God does not lie. So his names that he chooses to reveal to people in the Bible actually describe who he is. For God is his name. And we've been singing about his name this morning. Now, he doesn't need his name for himself. He knows exactly who he is without a name. He's totally complete in himself. He lacks for nothing. He's not insecure. If you get his name, it's no skin of his nose. And many people have forgotten the name of God. That becomes their problem, not his. He doesn't fear anything. He doesn't want for anything. He is in perfect unity with himself. He is the great I am. When nothing else was, he was the I am creator of the universe. Hallelujah. He was and is to come the I am. I'm just going to put in here because I was thinking about it this morning over my coffee and Bible. You know when Moses had to go to Pharaoh and Moses said to God, who do I tell Pharaoh you are? Now, Pharaoh was he believed in many gods. Yes, it's sort of skipping my brain right now. He believed in many gods. But God is saying to him, I am. He's not calling himself anything else because judgment was about to come upon Pharaoh. And all Pharaoh needed to know is, I am. You believe you're a god, Pharaoh. Pharaoh actually thought he was a god. They believed in gods that were cows and all sorts of things. But God was saying to him, all he needs to know is, I am. One day, all this world will know the I am. And that is judgment time. The I am. I just put that one in there because it really hit me. But his name should be very important to us because our relationship with him begins with us understanding who he is. For example, what does Jesus mean? Savior. Thank you. What does Jesus mean? Savior. Our relationship begins with God by us understanding that he's saved us. It's got to come with Jesus first. And we get that through his name, Jesus. So he's just one of his many great names I wish to address today. That's the purpose of this sermon. Now, hopefully, this name you would all say on a regular basis. In fact, every day, a thankful Christian may say it at least three times, if not more. And yet when we say this name that I am going to address today, we don't acknowledge it as actually being one of God's names. Which of his names do you think I'm talking about? Turn with me to Revelation 3, verses 14. Thanks, Levi. Revelation 3, verse 14. To the messenger of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. Note the capital A, Amen. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. These are the words of the Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word will shake us all this morning. Holy Spirit, do what you must do to bring us all closer to you. Lord, every single one of us could do with being closer to you so that we can do your will here on earth. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings life and healing. And I ask this morning that healing would take place as your word is preached. Amen. These are the words of the Amen. In the book of Revelation, God is being referred to as the Amen. As I mentioned before, we know that God has many names throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us that he is called, you ready there, Levi? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is ever present. Jehovah Ra, the Lord the shepherd, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord your righteousness, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner. If you notice, each of these names of God are a promise to you. Each of those names are a promise to you. He promises in his name to be your provider, your healer, your sanctifier, your peace, your ever-present God, your shepherd, your righteousness, and your banner. The truth is, you benefit from his name because his name holds a promise to you. But here in the book of Revelation, God calls himself the Amen. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He is the Amen. Now, the original Greek word for this scripture, Amen, means firm, trustworthy, surely, verily, so be it. Now, this Greek word, Amen, has its original in the Hebrew word, Amen, which means sure, faithfulness, truly, so be it, truth. So, what does this name, the Amen, mean to you? Well, it tells us that God stands firm on what he says. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. And don't I know it? I've known Jesus since I was 6. I'm now 61. I've known Jesus for a long time. He is faithful. I was thinking that this morning as I was driving to church. Boy, is he faithful. He speaks the truth, even when it really hurts you. He speaks the truth. He speaks a sure, certain word, which is beyond any shadow of doubt. He doesn't waver or doubt himself. When he speaks, it comes to pass. When he makes a promise, it will happen. It is assured. It's not, maybe, I think so, nearly, almost, sort of, could be, in a kind of roundabout way. Yes or no, yes and no. No, 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 no. God speaks and it is. And I've got the scripture to back this up. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 18 to 20. Paul speaks to the Corinthian church as follows. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That's why Christians like saying Amen, Amen, because we know God will deliver on his promises. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen. Now, just in case you didn't get that amazing scripture, this is how the Believer's Bible commentary describes what I've just read. All the promises of God, no matter how many there are, find their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. We open our Bible at a promise. We look up to God, and God says, you can have all that through Jesus. Trust in Christ, we say amen to God. God has always been the Amen. God has always been the Amen God. God didn't suddenly become the Amen God. He's always been the great Amen. In fact, each of his names listed in the Old Testament should be followed by the surname Amen. Let me introduce you to the Lord who provides, Amen. The Lord who heals, Amen. The Lord who sanctifies, Amen. The Lord your peace. Amen. The Lord who is ever present. Amen. The Lord the shepherd. Amen. The Lord your righteousness. Amen. He is who he says he is. He has always been the God who promises good to those who love him and keep his commandments. However, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross made the Amen absolutely and beyond any shadow of doubt attainable to us, the redeemed ones. His promises to us are indeed Amen in and through Jesus Christ. So when it comes to his promises written in the Word, God says to those of you who love him, listen, this is God speaking to you, sure, so be it. I'm trustworthy. I'm faithful. The promises are true. I stand firm on what I say. They are yours. Reach up to me in faith and claim them. Amen. The Word is literally oozing with promises from God that we can anchor into. How many promises? Well, there have been many numbers kicked around. Some believe the Holy Scriptures contain a grand total of 8,810 promises. 7,487 of these promises are from God to man. Israel, the nation Israel, is where it is today because a promise was made to Abraham a long time ago. And God promised him, and because of that, the nation of Israel is where it is today. Despite all the nations around it not wanting Israel to be there, it is because of a promise of God. The most outstanding chapter as far as promises are concerned is Psalm 37, because every verse is related to some form of promise given. I love Psalm 37. And I'm going to share it with you right now. We're going to read it together. Now, hopefully you've all read this a number of times, but some of you don't read your Bible enough. And for you people, I'm going to read the whole of Psalm 37 because you should read your Bible more. It does you a lot of good. You should read your Bible every day, every day. In fact, one of the best times to read the Bible is first thing in the morning. You get that coffee, you get that cup of tea, you sit on the lounge and you read the Bible. Don't care how much the kids are screaming, you read your Bible. Get onto Our Daily Bread or something like that. Read your Bible. It sets the motion of your whole day when you begin with the Bible. Psalm 37, and this is a Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. There we go. Settles that. All your enemies, that's what's going to happen if they don't turn to Jesus. So you need to pray for them and preach the gospel to them. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know what? When you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires line up with God's desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Don't fret. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. That's interesting. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Hallelujah. That peace comes before heaven, by the way. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty, but the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives, but the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I've seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen, 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 and amen. That takes care of everything as far as I'm concerned. You might be getting concerned about politics. Just read this. Just read this. And the concern will go. Psalm 37 was written by the Amen, and he meant every word. Amen? Amen? Before I finish, I have one more little story to tell you, which I believe is a wonderful analogy of the trustworthiness of God's promises, which are based on his name. Booker T. Washington describes meeting an ex-slave in his book, Up From Slavery. He writes, "I found that this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the liberation of slavery, to the effect that the slave was to be permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. Finding that he could secure better wages in Ohio, he went there. When freedom came, he was still in debt to his master some $300, which was a lot of money back then. But even though the Emancipation Proclamation freed him from any obligation to his master, this black man walked the greater portion of the distance back to where his old master lived in Virginia and placed the last dollar with interest in his old master's hands. In talking to me about this, the man told me that he knew that he did not have to pay his debt, but that he had given his word to his master, and his word he had never broken. He felt that he could not enjoy his freedom till he had fulfilled his promise. That is a beautiful story. I got a feeling he might have known Jesus. I do. What a wonderful witness to his master. Can you imagine how the master would have felt? You would have wanted to give it back with him with extra interest, wouldn't you? There's some special people in the world. It's that kind of promise that is found in heaven. It's that kind of promise that is found in heaven. Man is fallible, but God is perfect. He owes us nothing, and yet he keeps his word to us. Even though we are making mistakes all the time and we're needing his forgiveness every day of our lives, God earnestly wants men to believe his word, to believe his name, and claim all his promises. His very surname, Amen, seals the promises in our hearts. So what's in a name? That's the title of this sermon. What's in a name? Well, when it comes to God, this is really good English, a ginormous lot. That's what's in a name. A ginormous lot. A lot of good promises which are sealed with the surname Amen. He is the Amen. Just believe his word. Keep your hands clean and your heart humble. Love God. Love your fellow man. Don't ignore someone that's in trouble. As a Christian, it is your responsibility to be Jesus to them. And he never ignored the lowly. He never ignored them. Keep your hands clean. Keep your heart humble and believe in his promises to you. Don't let his promises go. Hold on to them tightly with extreme persistence. With a name like Amen, he's as good as his word. You know, people often say, I'm as good as my word. Well, you know what? None of us are perfect. Only in Christ are we perfect. But God really is as good as his word, as good as his name. I told you earlier on when I was thinking about the name that Pharaoh was given, I am, I am. I'm about to come and judge you and your people. I am the I am. A lot of people, that's the only name they will hear when it's judgment day. What about you? What names have you experienced of God? My plea to you is get to know every single one of his names and live them out in your life. Just live them out. I know life is hard. We all have our challenges. Do you know what? I think one of our biggest challenges is just wanting to be comfortable all the time. We live a comfortable life. We just want to be comfortable. Well, make yourself uncomfortable by doing what Jesus wants you to do and living his name. Living his name. If you really believe that Jesus is your healer, you should be praying for people that they discover the healing power of Jesus. Just reach out to people and show them the name of God, the names of God through you. His names become our names because we're Christians, we're Christians.